The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
I've gotten a few testimonies to show how much God has helped, has healed, and has transformed people. Amen. I like to know that the Word of God actually works. Amen. The Word of God works. We come to church to hear God's Word because His Word works. Okay? If His Word does not work, then we are actually coming here to waste our time. But glory to God, we're not wasting our time. God's Word works. God's Word produces results in our lives. I'd like you to know, as we sit under His Word again this evening, we are going to be changed. I say we are going to be changed. Are you guys ready this evening? Hallelujah. So I've dealt with a lot of issues so far. We've gone from why healing is God's will to talking about how to develop a strong spirit, to, you know, how to receive your healing, to talk about even some natural principles as it regards healing and health. And we've addressed emotional healing too. So it's been a whole lot. It's been an interesting journey so far. This evening I'm going to, like I promised you, save a few things on how to minister healing. It's so important you master it. Because like I've always been saying from the beginning of this teaching, you are either sick today or you'll be sick tomorrow. But even if you're not sick today and you will not be sick tomorrow, someone you know and someone you love may be sick tomorrow or might even be sick now. So it's so important you master how healing works. You master how to minister healing to people. Not just, I've taught on how to receive healing, but now you need to know how to minister the healing. And you must be taught. Amen. The thing about it is this. The things of the Spirit can be taught. And I've kept saying that it can be taught. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 1, Paul told them, now concerning spiritual gifts, he said, I will not have you ignorant. In context, he was saying, concerning spiritual gifts, I will teach you. So you can actually teach the things of the Spirit. You can teach speaking in tongues. Now, that doesn't mean teaching someone how to speak in tongues, to say, oh, yeah, say ba or say la or whatever. No. But then you can teach people how to open up themselves to receive the Holy Ghost, how to give Him expression, and even how much it will help them. So, teaching spirit can actually be taught. Healing can be taught. I get to the point. Healing can be taught. How to minister healing can be taught. And our attempts to do that this evening, because it's okay that you have to master it. Now, the thing about ministering healing to the sick, why do we need to master this? I'll give you like three reasons why you need to learn how to minister healing to the sick. Number one is because ministering healing to the sick helps us in soul winning. It helps in soul winning. You know, in Acts chapter 8, we read the story of Philip, how that Philip went to Samaria to go preach the gospel. And then the Bible tells us how healings happen. Go to verse 6, Acts chapter 8. And verse 6, Philip went to Samaria. Bible said, people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracle which he did. So they were listening and miracles were happening. And in verse 7, you see more records of the miracles. Unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame, we are healed. Verse 8 tells us there was great joy in that city. Because every time where you have the teaching of the word and miracles are accompanying it, one of the things you're going to notice is that it becomes easier. Let me say something to you that you have to realize. People are not as spiritual as you think they are. People are actually very carnal. People want what they can see, what they can experience, what they can touch. As much as you say, well, it's the word of God that matters. People actually know that. Do you know the reason the ministry of Jesus had the kind of following it had was because he had miracles there. Now, take it or leave it.
Go read your Bible. The major thing that began to draw people to Jesus were not his teachings. It was his miracles. Are you following what I'm saying? The major things that drew people to him. Of course, when they now came, they now began to hear the word. Some believe, some did not believe. But it was his miracles first. Check, almost every time you see a miracle in the scriptures, they will say, truly this is the Son of God. Because those miracles that they saw him do, we are a proof to them that he was Son of God. Now, that wasn't a proof to Jesus that he was the Son of God, but at least to them. And so, check, every man sent by God in the scriptures had miracles accompanying him. It is one of the ways God shows his approval on a man. And you know what I said? The miracles that follow a man's ministry is one of the ways that God says, I call that man. Whether you believe you have a miracle anointing or not, if that is the call of God upon your life, miracles must follow. If God sent you, power must go with you. It's not the way God says, this is my beloved son. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm going to say to some of you. One of the major ways I've navigated some of the greatest troubles and challenges I've had in this ministry, especially in the area of aspersions, where people begin to say, this church did this, person did that. I've learned the secret in God's word. Answer with miracles. You know what I'm saying? Respond with power. Acts chapter 14, let me show you. It was not actually in my notes, but because of this method I made, I'm going to show you. Acts chapter 14 from verse 1. Acts 14 from verse 1. It came to pass, in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogues of the Jews, and so spake that the great multitude both of the Jews and also of the Greek believed. Of course, verse 2, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and stayed them rather astray, in verse 2, and made their heart, minds evil, affected against the brethren. So, look at NLT. NLT said, some of the Jews, however, spurned God's message and poisoned the minds of the Gentiles against Paul and Barnabas. Some other translations say they spread false rumors. Check other translations. They spread false rumors. Other translations, Amplify Classic or any of them. Come on. Amplify Classic says, they aroused the Gentiles and embittered their minds against the brethren. Embittered their minds against the brethren. Message said, don't believe in Jews, worked up a whispering campaign against Paul and Barnabas. So there's something called whispering campaign. Huh? Did you hear that this happened? Did you hear that that happened? We whisper from person to person. There are people that pioneer whispering campaigns. And don't be one of them. Did you hear what I said? Now, go back to that message. And Bible said they were sowing mistrust. Because every time there is a rumor or there are aspersions like that, what it produces is mistrust. People begin to doubt this man of God. Are we sure? Can we even believe him? Began to sow mistrust and suspicion in the minds of people in the streets. I agree what I'm talking about, friends. And I learned this very early. As early as 2007, the Lord told me this thing I'm going to show you now. As somebody that I close my mouth, I've already shown you this particular thing. Sowing mistrust, suspicion. Remember to put GNT or something? The Good New Translation. We say they stirred up the Gentiles and thought they turned them against the believers. Now see verse 3. How did Paul and the rest respond to this? Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly word of God. So what is the first thing they did? They responded with boldness. They kept preaching what they were preaching boldly. I don't know who needs what I'm saying now. But if you're in a place where people are saying crazy things about you, stay strong and bold with the message. Because the aim of all those talk is to see if you can actually stop. And if you stop and chicken out, you fulfill the agenda of hell. Because most of those guys spreading those things are actually sponsored by hell, but they don't know. So, first thing, they spake more boldly in the name of the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So you see two answers they gave. They became bold with the word. Once you become bold with the word, God will respond with signs and wonders. Every time you find out those aspersions, this is the answer to it.
Stay strong with the word. Then, sense and wonders, God will go ahead of you to prove. If you pay attention, every time people check every ministry, once people begin to say, this man of God, once that man knows how to get back, even if, now if he's not wrong, if he's actually innocent about that, God will show up if he's going to be bold. Now, if he's not innocent, sir, and he knows how to go back to God and fix up things with God, and still stay strong with the message, God will still show up to confirm to them, my hand is upon this man. Every time, I've seen this, it's a pattern I've noticed from scriptures to even today. Amen. One of the earliest aspersions I've ever had in my ministry, many years ago, I mean as early as 2007, that's how God taught me this thing. Small boy, I began to say a few things. I don't even know where those were coming because I wasn't even a pastor. I was just Brother Henry who was doing my thing. I was in SS2. So, just very innocent guy doing his thing. And I began to hear that guy. There was nothing I didn't even hear. Crazy stuff. Yeah, he used to push people down when he's praying for them. You know those kind of crazy stories. And I was young, so it really affected me. You get the point? He used to push people down. That. And I was studying the Bible. God showed me this particular verse. He says, stay strong. There was a particular, you know, I've shared this many times. There was a particular night, I was having a vigil. I used to have a vigil with students then, where these two children have planned that when I say testimony time, when is testimony time? Because they've seen many Nollywood movies. They will come and pick up the mic and say, we have something to say, I guess. I didn't know they planned it. This was one of the first things God used to show people and show me that I called this guy. And they had planned within themselves. A few of their friends knew about the plan. And then they were still doing praise and worship. After praise and worship, there'll be testimonies and what have you. And me to praise and worship, I just felt this urge in my heart. There'll be no testimony this night. I walked straight and picked up the mic. They themselves, they were shocked on their seat. I said, I know it's testimony time, but I just feel like preaching. The word is burning in my heart. Yes. And I picked up the mic. And that's exactly how I felt. Now, I picked up the mic and began to sing. And if you know the church I was holding this meeting, it was just one line. This just sit here, the line in between. So I was singing and walking in the midst. And all of them had the same experience. Once I walk close to where they were, they will begin to vibrate. I didn't notice. Then I will go back. They changed their seats at least 3 times. But once I just walk past, before finishing meeting, all of them were slain completely under the power of God. Then I came and began to tell me. I know the good thing about this. Their friends knew about the plan. And their friends witnessed it. It was one of the things that the news went around actually in that school. Say, that guy, fear that guy, yo. That's not the news. Fear that guy, yo. Because at the end of the day, what God did was to show them, you can't mess with this guy. And thank God, God showed up then. Because I was too young in the ministry. I've not even started preaching for up to 1 year. I was still learning anointing and all these small things. See, if that thing had happened, I'll pack up. I'm not doing it again. So, whenever you find as passions coming, there is no problem. Miracle, power is the answer to insult. Yes. When there are those things, respond with the power of God. That's why I said, you know, I'm saying to say, this is why we need to learn how to minister healing. Because it makes our work easier. It makes evangelism easier. Get into a family and say they won't hear you. Place hand on someone that is sick that he gets well. They will listen to you. They will. They will listen to you. They will listen to you. I can't forget went to a mission work somewhere many years ago actually. And the first week, it was a village where there was no church. First thing we did there, I asked the guy that brought us in there, what is there any probe, is there any sickness that is actually popular in this community? And they told me. That's the first thing we went to address. That was supernatural. And I tell you guys this quite a lot. Well, that was my first time of going to a village to go and do crusade, or do mission work for 1 week. We had to do mission for 1 week. We had to do gold crusade for 1 week. We had to plant the church in 1 week. We had no handbills. We had no microphones. We had nothing. We just stayed with a very small community. And what we just did was tell us what the problem is. And they had this. It was a village in Benue State. Now, I've shared this story many times. We went there. addressed the issue. Immediately that miracle happened. That crusade that night, nobody invited anybody. People came by themselves. This makes the work easier. And let me tell you, as much as all of you are claiming you love the word of God, and you are sitting here, if there is no power here, you will not be here. You, Seth. Two of us. You know, you are here for the word. I know. But if we cannot stand up, because at the end of the day, I'm not endorsing anything, but nobody goes to prayer house with a clear eye. So at the end of the day, when people have begin to pass through troubles and you can't provide solution, nothing, you know. I feel what I'm saying. That's why you find many people who are in certain churches that they've accepted as their church. They're not willing to change the church, but they attend other ministries because they want answers. Are you guys following me this evening? No? They want answers. And that's why if you are going to let God use you at whatever capacity, even if just to go for evangelism and come back, you must master how to operate the power of God. But it makes your job easier. Get into a classroom and they're making noise. Heal one person, they will shut up. Yes, and listen to you. No matter how small or how big you are. So it makes our mission, our evangelism, soul winning, it makes it very easy. So you must master how miracles, how this happens. I gave you one reason already. It makes our soul winning, evangelism and what have you, easy. Of course, another reason I should add, maybe, apart from soul winning and evangelism, it can save your loved one of these days. Yes. One of these days, your loved one can be diagnosed with a health condition, and it will be how much you've mastered the healing power of God that can help that person come out of it. It can be your daughter, it can be your son, it can be your friend, it can be your husband, it can be your wife. And so you will need to master healing. Because apart from the fact that it helps us in soul winning, it also helps our loved one. And I also want to add, it doesn't just help sinners, it also helps saints. That a few times a saint can fall sick, because people fall sick here. A few times a saint can fall sick, and you've tried everything you know to get person healed. You've given medication and all of that. Sometimes it is the knowledge of the healing power of God and how to handle it that can get the person out of it. Bible tells us in Acts chapter 9, verse 36, about Peter. Put up, I love that scripture. You see, there was a certain disciple named, look at what Bible called her, a disciple. A disciple. Her name was Peter. So she wasn't just an unbeliever. I'm trying to tell you that even healing this, learning how to heal the sick can help believers too. She was a disciple named Tabitha. By interpretation, it's called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works. So she was a disciple and she was a good person. This is one of the people you can say, you know, she learned how to walk in love, ministry of helps and all of that. She was full of good works and arms in which she did. So she was a rich woman, but she was good. She was generous and what have you. So she wasn't even a sinning Christian. That's why I told you, sin can cause sickness. But don't always think that everybody that is sick became sick because person is a sinner. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because that's a very terrible thing. No, it's a very terrible mindset to carry. You say, I thought he's born again. Why is he sick? I thought he's a Christian. Why doesn't he have money? You know, if you walk in holiness, you will not be sick. That's not true. Say amen. Because this woman had nothing wrong with her. The Bible says she did alms, but she was sick. Sin can cause sickness, but every sickness is not always as a result of sin. However, whether the sickness is caused by sin or whoever, sin can never stop healing. God can never refuse to heal you because you're a sinner. If sin can stop healing, then it means sin is stronger than the blood of Jesus. But it never is. Are you following me? So look at the story. The woman was sick. Acts 9 verse 36. And in verse 37, it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. So she was sick and sick until she died. And she was a believer. Whom when they had washed, washed her, prepared her for burial. They laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. So they sent to him, telling him this guy has died, this lady had died. There's a lot of lessons about mission healing in this verse, but I don't think I'll have time to open it up very fully. Because I wanted to show you, they sent for Peter. Many people desire that people pray for them and work miracles for them, but they don't know how it works. But that's the story from that day. Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and shewing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. So the woman was a good woman. And of course, Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Say amen. That's the miracle working power of God. Do you love miracles? I simply just prayed. You know, we don't know how long he prayed, but Bible said he prayed. After praying, I said, hey, I'll come to this very shortly. After praying, he said, Tabitha, arise, and she got up. So this is miracles now. Helping a saint. It's not just helping in soul winning now. It's helping a saint in Christ Jesus. So it can also be used for saints. So I want to say to some of you, if you are sick in your body, do not hesitate to ask to be prayed for. It doesn't make you a spiritual baby. I know what I'm talking about. Even the giants can be sick. Well, some of us, you know, mess these things up for ourselves. You are sick, Zach, and they say, if you know you are sick, come out. Maybe you're a pastor, but you are sick. But you don't come out. Better run out, let them pray for you. Or you are sick because, and you are with a fellow saint in your room. Why can't you say, guy, I beg, just pray for me. Sometimes you are sick, you've tried, you've confessed, you've done whatever, but sickness is there. You mustn't reach out to pastor. If there's a saint around you that you know that knows the word, say, pray for me. Because this woman was not a baby Christian. She had people that were even looking up to her. She had widows she was taking care of. Think of such a person. And I kind of feel that, you know, for Peter to respond that quickly, that woman was really a powerful person. Powerful, I mean, not like big in society, but at least someone important in the church, someone useful to the church. So they reached out to Peter. Peter just left and came, and then the woman got up. So if you are sick, we've heard about the Epaphras that was sick. Let the minister healing to you. Are you what I'm saying? Yes. Let the minister healing to you. Amen. I just have a friend that said to his friends or to his family, any day I fall so sick that I can no longer stand, I don't even know myself, look at where to take me to. He told them. He told them, just once you take me there, I'll be fine. Amen. It doesn't mean you are planning to be sick, but the devil can strike. I get the point. So you must learn. So now look at this. Now what if you are the one with your friend the day she fell sick, or he or she, and they say you should say, I don't even know what is happening to me. It's 3 a.m. and I can't stand up from my bed. And you're with that person alone in that room. The person says, I can't stand up from my bed now. And you don't know anything about ministry healing. You say, okay, let's take you to the hospital. You don't have car. You call all the KK people you know, nobody's picking up. All the bus cab guys, nobody's picking up. You call pastor, of course. He did not pick. Now, imagine that you want to find yourself in that night. You now begin to shout, Muna, help me. Oh. You must learn how these things work. My hands conduct the power of God. Yeah. Master, because sometimes that can be all you need at the time. Amen. So, few things about how to minister. I'll just say a few things I would like to know. Because ministering to the sick starts with knowledge. There are a few things you must know, but I didn't say a few things you must hear. A few things you must know and keep knowing. And keep knowing. But when I mean keep knowing, I mean keep reading, keep studying, keep listening. Basic facts, I won't say much about it because I've addressed them in the course of this teaching. If you're following us from the first day. For instance, you must know that God is not the author of sickness. Satan is. That part should remain in your head. So you know you're not praying against God.
You're not trying to beg God. Satan is one that causes sickness. I've shown that a lot and a lot in the Bible. In Luke chapter 13, for instance, and verse 16, Jesus made it so clear that that woman that had been bound for 18 years was bound by the devil. Are you here? So Satan is the cause of sickness. It's not God. Number two thing you must note is that God wants to heal at all times. You know, I've tried to establish this. We started. God wants to heal. There is no time of the day or time of the year that God does not want to heal. So don't now. This, if this is in your mind, this is why I can pray for the sick at any time. Because I know that God wants to heal now. There is no time of the year or day. We see Jesus even healing. You know, one of the major problems the Pharisees had with Jesus was that he was healing even on the Sabbath day. A day meant for rest, he was still healing. Because God always wants to heal. He's always willing to heal. Midnight, midday, morning, anytime, God wants to heal. Once there is a sickness, you know how it is, eh? Oh, the thing about God is a healer. And healers get activated when they see sickness. And that's why if you are here and you function very well in the healing anointing, one of the things you will notice is that once there is a sick person around you, you will be uncomfortable until you pray for the person. Yeah, what is happening is that that anointing of God in you is responding to that need. I told you guys before, anointing responds to needs. Once there is a sick person around you, you begin to notice this one, it's pushing you. That's anointing of God trying to respond. So God always wants to heal. Number three thing you must know, if you must function in the healing anointing, is that healing is for all. Everyone has a part. The sinner, the saved, the righteous, the unrighteous, the serious, the unserious Christian. The Bible tells us, Acts chapter 10 verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about healing, doing good and healing all. How many? All. Hallelujah. All that we are oppressed of the devil, not some. So God always wants to heal, and healing is for everyone. So that person you want to pray for has a part in it. That mama has a part in it. That papa has a part in it. That native doctor has a healing is for all. And so don't ever stand before a sick person and you're thinking, how am I sure God wants to heal this one now? No, God wants to heal him. And this is what I settle in my mind when I want to pray for the sick. When I'm standing before sick people, I just know one thing in my head. God wants to heal these people now. I just know it. Because I know the character. You see why it's good to learn the character of God? Have you read the God you never knew? That's why it's good to learn. Because it finally will play out in everything. Because I know that God always wants to heal, and healing is for everybody. When I stand before the sick, I'm not second guessing. What if God wants to heal this one? I know God wants to heal the person. So even when I'm talking with that person, what I'm trying to do is trying to get the person to cooperate with what God actually wants to do. And not trying to get the person or trying to get God to heal. So when you see me meet a sick person and say, you know God wants to heal you now, all those talk is to get you to cooperate with what I'm sure God wants to do. So it's a cooperation I'm seeking. It's not God's will I'm seeking. Because I know God's will. So when a person is not healed, because I may touch that later today. When a person is not healed, and I'm trying to find out why, because of course the disciples of Jesus had a case they couldn't handle, and they asked us, why couldn't we cast him out? So there are cases like that. Now, as you're trying to find the answer, you actually know what the answer is not. And what is the answer not? It is not that God refused to heal. Please follow me this evening. Because this solves the problem for you. It's not that God is not in the mood, or God is angry with him, or God said not yet, or God said wait. Mm-mm, God doesn't say wait, sir. Amen? Aha. When it has to do with healing, he wants to heal you now. Go read your scriptures, your Bible, places in Matthew 12, verse 15, when Jesus appears on the scene, every sick person he sees that responds to him by faith, he healed all of them. Jesus knew it, he was doing stuff from thence, and gave them all to follow him, and he healed them all of them. So, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, if he comes to meetings and he heals all, I think I showed you that last 2 weeks about how many places in the book of Matthew? Up to 15 places where he healed them all, healed everyone. Now, when you see that in his character in the four gospels, you know that's what he still wants to do now. So when people do not get healed, our question should not be whether God is interested or not. We should find out what we are doing wrong or what we didn't get right. Are you following me this evening? So, get in your mind that healing is for everyone. Healing is for me. Healing is for you. Healing is for all of us. Glory to God. In Matthew 14, verse 35, I'm telling you a few things you must know. I've mentioned three things. God is not the author of sickness. God wants to heal at all times. And healing is for everyone. The Bible said, and when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. And verse 36, what did he do? They besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched, we are made perfectly whole. So there was nobody that touched that God said, well, I'm not interested. They were made perfectly whole. Are you following me? They were made perfectly whole. I believe in healing. And I believe God is a healer. So you must know these things. Again, what other things you must know? Again, now, notice the first three things I said, okay, was not about you, was about God. So that these are things you must know about God and his character. But I'll say a few more things, like three more things you must know about yourself. Number one, you must know that you are qualified to heal the sick. Because this is where we begin to struggle now. Many people don't doubt those first, the other ones I said. God wants to heal, we all know, but now, you are qualified to heal the sick. So whenever you stand before cancer, never think that maybe I am not qualified to heal this cancer. Maybe my level, you know, I've kept saying this. All these levels and dimensions that you have to get to before you're able to heal the sick is total rubbish. Now, I've never believed in it. I will never believe in it. And you ask me what is why I don't believe in it. Apart from the Bible and all of that. Guys, I began to heal the sick when I was not even speaking in tongues. You know what I'm talking about? No level, no dimension, no depth. Now, it's something I know. How many of you have healed, you began to heal the sick? If there are some miracles you saw as an early Christian, as a young Christian, they're not even seeing much of it now. Anybody like that? When you were very young, you didn't know anything. You just go up and down praying. So what dimension were you in then? Now you're trying to grow in spirit and now bringing all those high-sounding nonsense into your ear. And then it's making you feel like, I'm not qualified because I've not crossed many realms. Oh, but calm down. You are qualified. Mark 16 verse 17. These signs shall follow them that believe. That's what Jesus said. Why are you guys trying to complicate this whole matter? In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. Verse 18. Read with me, everybody. If they drink in their living, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Which people? Them that believe. So what's with all these complications? You qualify to heal the sick. The same way you qualify to receive healing, you qualify to heal. The thing is, do you believe? You know, every time I read the four gospels, and I look at the fact that the disciples of Jesus were healing the sick, it marvels me. And I look at the Old Testament, it marvels me still. Because these guys were not praying in tongues. These guys did not have the Holy Ghost dwelling in them. He could only visit them and then lift again. But they were able to work miracles mightily. Because they believe. The first thing that God must do to your head this evening is to convince you that you qualify to heal the sick. There are some of you that may not know what you have until the day God gives you an opportunity to be around me. Well, some of the ways I've trained people over the years is by what one of my mentors called hot baptism. And that hot baptism is to force people to know who they are. Yes. Very hot baptism. I can go with you to somewhere, a very difficult case you think that I'm going to handle, and I'll just say, you handle it. Amen. When it happens to you, now know how powerful you are. Say amen. Imagine we go for a crusade and you go with me to the crusade.
And they say, well, have a man of God that came over from Enugu, the lead pastor. And I come up to the stage and I just tell them, hallelujah. You know, this evening, I'm not going to preach. I came with a powerful evangelist. All the way from Enugu. Tonight you'll be preaching and healing the sick. Can we all celebrate? And maybe you didn't actually know that. Let's celebrate evangelists. And as a man I know, this is the major thing that introduced him to ministry. He went with his father to the meeting. The father just made that. He didn't know. He wasn't informed. Let's inform my son all the way from Enugu. This man is talk. At first he said when he was talking, sincerely, he wasn't bothered because he was so sure it was not him he was talking about. And after the whole talk, he said, let's bring him up. Called his name. He froze for some time. And the man was so the father was so composed on stage. Keep clapping until he comes up. And he came and picked the mic and stood, looked at him, he looked at him too. And went and sat down behind him. As a matter of fact, I've shared my experience with you guys. This is actually what brought me into the power ministry. This kind of thing. We were going out to go and minister to some people. I was going with my leader. And we were just as we were entering into the door, he said, you are the one preaching and ministering. Well, she has done that to me before. So when she said I wasn't really bothered, I was like, okay, preaching is not really it's not really a difficult thing for me. But that second part, preaching and ministering, that one. So what I normally do when I'm done preaching, I'll just start giving her a sign. Yeah, for real. I'll start singing. I'll give her a sign. And then she will come up and begin to minister the power of God. So that very day, when she said they are preaching, I said, oh, normal level now, you know what to do. But then for the first time she said those things, I went up the stage and then she left the program venue. That's when I knew that you can stand with sin. You know, God, say God. And almost all those people came to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the problem. Some came for healing. Listen, you need some of those experiences to let you know that you actually have more than you think you have, sir. You have more than you think you have. There are many things that God has put in you. So back to the story I was telling you, the guy stood there. For a few minutes, he didn't say anything. And the man of God was sitting down on stage, very composed. Like nothing is going wrong. He said he thought he would look at it. He'll stand for some time and the guy will get frustrated and come and take the mic. He just sat very composed with his pen and his jotter. And be ready to take notes. Yes. And then he started preaching. Preached for some time. That was what broke that guy into ministry. Who I'm talking about is a very big minister. Very big. But that particular thing showed him that there is actually so much that you carry. So much. Now, all this opportunity, and some of you, it may not be man that will give that experience. It may be God that will give you the experience. You might just be walking up and down, going for your normal evangelism, and enter one compound. And after you finish bragging, my God can do all things. They say, thank God you are here. And then I bring up somebody, they say he has not gotten up from this sick bed for the past 7 years. He say, tomorrow is a miracle service. When God brings an opportunity, he's trying to show you that you actually qualify. That was what broke me out into the power ministry. And I can tell you what, I finished preaching and started singing. And I knelt down. And when, you know, I've learned to do this. I don't know, how many of you ever pray sincere prayers to God? No, not in tongues. In your language. You say, Father, you are my source. I say, Father, God, please. This lady has left. These people are looking up to you. I prayed that very, and it always works. But then I prayed that very sincere prayer. And I said, lift up your hands wherever you are. The power of God is going to, I had to pinch myself and say, wow, this is me. Power day, Joe. And we have so much that we actually know that we have. I want to say to you, there is more. There is more. It's okay to be an usher in church. But you carry the power of God. It's okay to be in the technical team, but there is more. There is something you carry on inside. God actually thinks you are qualified for healing. We read the Bible about Stephen and Philip
two guys that were just appointed as food sharers in the church, and they went on to have a very amazing healing ministry. So you can actually be used of God. So I started by saying that this point I actually made is, you qualify to minister healing. You qualify to minister healing. Amen. And I can give you like 2 days why I think you qualify to minister healing. I've said the first one because you are a believer. Secondly, because God has given you His Holy Spirit. Yeah. You know, you have the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit, you know, the reason why some of you think I don't have as much Holy Spirit as Pastor, that statement itself is enough proof that you don't understand who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. He's a person. So you cannot say Pastor Henry is here, but he's not fully here. So just his hand came, but his hand is, his body is at home. That's not possible. So when the Holy Ghost is in you, He is fully in you. And part of what He came with is the gift of healing. So this is why I believe that every believer has the gift of healing. Yes. As a matter of fact, the Bible already said, they that believe shall heal the sick. And then you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. That Holy Spirit is enough proof that you can heal the sick. That Spirit of God that is living inside of you. Check the Old Testament. The few times He came upon the people, they did amazing things. Now you have Him living inside of you. You know that is why I believe you can heal the sick? It's because God has given you His name. We have the name of Jesus. You know, in John 14 and verse 12, Jesus was talking when He was about to, you know, ascend and all of that. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Now, go to verse 16, because of our time. He said, "You shall do the same work you did." He said, "And I will pray the Comforter, and shall give the Father, rather, and shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Okay? Now, go to chapter 16. Because I already showed you one. You have the Holy Spirit. That verse just confirmed it. But then if you go to chapter 16, glory to God. Okay. Give me a minute. Okay. Chapter 16, they talked about the giving of the Holy Spirit. But then, go to verse 12. "I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." Of course, He was still talking to them about the fact that the Holy Spirit shall come. Okay? Now, verse 23. He now said, "At that day, in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name." So all you have to do is to approach God in the name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus is beyond saying Jesus. You can actually pray. Of course, you should say the name of Jesus as often as you can. But you can actually pray in the name of Jesus without mentioning the name Jesus. A man of God made a statement like this online, and internet caught fire. And it really made me laugh, because I've been saying this thing for the past 5 or 7 years. You can pray in the name of Jesus without mentioning Jesus. Are you getting the point? To pray or to come in someone's name. If I'm supposed to preach and I send somebody here, the person is here in my name. Do you understand what that means? So if he's saying, for instance, if I'm a governor, I would like to use this example, and I send someone to come and represent me here. When the person comes here and says, "We will build this road." You get the point? He's not saying he will. He's talking, who will do it? The governor. When the news wants to carry it, you say the governor promised to walk on this road. He spoke in my name. Are you following what I'm talking about? So when we say pray in the name of Jesus, it means you have to pray as though it is Jesus praying. In the name of Jesus. In the name. You are speaking as Jesus. That's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. You are speaking as Him. The same way you stand and say,
The governor sent me to represent him. And I have to say to all the school children, you will be in school. We are giving you free lunch from next month. Now, if that free lunch does not come, who will they blame? The man they sent to represent or the governor? The governor sent him because he spoke in his name. So, in other words, anything he says, the responsibility is on the governor to do it because he's there in the name of the governor. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. That's what I carry into prayer. Tonight you're going to be healed in Jesus' name. Well, in Jesus' name. I came here in his name. So it's not me that performs. I make the demand. He defends it. Because it is his name is defended. I came as he. Are you following me, everybody? I came as Jesus. So when we say, pray in the name of Jesus, what we're actually saying is, talk to God the same way Jesus will talk to him. Speak to God with the same authority Jesus would have used to speak to him. Are you getting the point? Put up any translation of this. Maybe NLT. Ooh, hallelujah. Let's do it together. Because you use my name. There are many ways I can use to explain this thing for you. Just like in Nigeria now, you want to enter an office, you want to submit something. You know, there can be job hunting. Everybody will bring application and submit. And all you hear is, we will attend to it. We will attend to it. But then, if you bring an application, and there's a letter attached to it, that letter is from maybe a certain senator, a certain minister. Once you come, they will attend to your own very quickly. Because you are there in his name. Somebody sent you. I get the point. Because his name represents everything he is. He doesn't have to be present. Once you come in his name represents. Put up Amplified Classic of this. Let me show you something. Quickly. And look at this. When that time comes, you will ask nothing of me. You will need to ask me no questions. I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you that my Father will grant you whatever you ask in my name as presenting all that I am. You know what I'm saying? So you just say, in Jesus' name, we are actually making a demand on his authority. We are speaking as though it is Jesus. You can't be turned down. Because of this name that we've been given, this is why I know that God, we can actually heal the sick. If I can add one more thing, because this name talks about his authority. We have authority over all sicknesses. Do you know this? We have authority over all sicknesses. So I'm all saying this to let you know that you are actually qualified to heal the sick because you have the Spirit of God. You have the name of Jesus. You have the authority of Jesus. Let me say something to you. The Bible said when Jesus died, that God gave him a name. Above that name. Talking about an authority. You know that? You know he received an authority after he died. Are you following me? Now hear what I'm going to say to you. I've said it before. Before Jesus came to the earth, was he above the devil? Before he came to the earth. Before he came to the earth, was he above sickness and diseases? He was. So before he came to the earth, was he above all principalities and powers? Yes. So the question is, why did he have to come and die to rise to receive an authority? He didn't need that authority, he received authority for you. His death brought you into his authority. So Jesus didn't gain authority over sickness because of himself. He had it all the while. Are you following me, everybody? Before he died, he was already healing the sick. Demons receive and begin to tremble. So all that process of receiving an authority was for you. So where he sits, you can sit. Are you getting what I'm talking about? So that what he can do, you can now do. So that the way he speaks, you can now speak. So you can now speak as him. And demons will respond the same way they would have responded if it was Jesus that spoke. So you have an authority. That's why when somebody is sick, this is what should be playing out in your head. We want to pray. It's not, can I heal the person? It's not,
Does God want to heal the person? It's not, what if it doesn't work? Mm-mm. What should play nice in your head is, God wants to heal this person, and I've been anointed to do it. That's how I meet sick people. This is actually one of the truths I grow. Let me teach you this. Whenever I have a healing meeting coming up, these are the things I begin to refresh my mind about. That God has anointed me. He has given me his power to heal the sick. I keep going that over and over and again in my heart. Because the more that truth settles in my heart, the more I have no failed case. That's why it starts with knowledge. I get what I'm talking about. I told you guys about our robots, how that every time he has a healing meeting, till he died, every time he had a miracle service, as he's going to the meeting, he's reading the Bible, the four Gospels. Matthew. What is he reading? He's reading all the miracles of Jesus. That's the only thing he'll be reading till he gets to the meeting. He's trying to refresh his. What is he doing? Tell yourself again and again that God is a healer. Jesus can heal. Because the more that you settle in your mind, the easier these things become. That's why I say these are not things you should know. There are things you should now keep knowing. You know, they said, Kenneth Copeland said sometimes, the guy will be reading the thing so much, and you can hear his bones, real life story, cracking under the influence of the power of God. You can feel so much strong atmosphere in that plane, because Kenneth Copeland was the pilot. As he was flying him, you said strong, I stop praying, just reading the Bible. From Matthew, you read all the miracles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, get back, until, if it's a 10-hour flight, that's what they'll be doing till he gets there. What are you doing? You are reminding yourself. I know what I'm talking about. You are eating it. You are eating it. Because most times, you are the limitation, that's what I'm trying to make. And that limitation starts from the mind. Something has told you that God may not want to heal this person. Something has told you, do you think you can heal cancer? Something has told you, raising the dead, I beg, you think it's that easy. Something is talking to you. And that thing is just trying to discourage and make you feel like, either you're not qualified, or you cannot do it now, or you're not able to do it today. And that's why I feel many people are actually sincere, many preachers, but the thing many of their preaching is doing to the body of Christ is actually very bad. All these things of telling believers you have to do this to qualify, you have to do this to be able to heal the sick. You know, you can't confront, you know, people say this like you cannot cast out a devil that is in level 7 if you are in level 4 in your Christian faith. It's like some of you are not feeling fine. Just by salvation, Jesus said, or Paul said, we are stayed with him far above, just without prayer, far above all principality and power, just by salvation. Just you are stayed with him far above. And he even gave all those levels in the kingdom of darkness. Who gave all? What are they? How many levels did they have? Huh? How many levels? How do you people know all these things? I've seen level 999. You know the problem, man? You guys don't know who. You guys used to quickly forget who you are dealing with. You are dealing with the father of all liars. The one that can craft a lie. The Bible says, I think it was Message Bible that said that when he lies, he speaks his native language. Eh? I think that's John 8:44. Put it up. He's a liar. John 8:44. Was that Message Bible? Quickly. John 8:44. He said, you are from the father, from your father, the devil. And all you want to do is to please him. He was a killer from the very start. He couldn't start the truth because there was the shred of truth in him. When the liar speaks, he makes it up out of his lying nature and feels. That's the scripture that said, when he lies, he speaks his native language. He's a natural liar. Aha. I think, yes. A fact classic. When he speaks a falsehood, he speaks what is natural to him. For he's a liar. NIV said, he speaks his native language. This is what I'm looking for. When he lies, he speaks what? His native language.
So the same way, what's your mother tongue? He said, I speak Igbo. Satan speaks lie as his natural language. Now that person telling you that there are seven. I don't believe anything the devil says. I don't believe anything. Because he even lies to the people that he's working with. One was trying to tell me that when you don't pray, I was deliverance. So, see, in our kingdom, when you don't pray, we come for you at night. I thought that is a lie. She said, do you know how people have come for? I said, fine, come for me this night. I will not pray. I said, the people's boss is even lying to you people. That's why I don't believe in all this concept deliverance and asking them questions. Say, where did you come out from? And because that's where we get all those crazy information. So they're telling you things. You say, but they came from there. Yes, they came from there. Who did they serve? The father of all liars. Told them many lies. Anything the word of God did not say concerning Satan is not true. And even if it is true, we don't need the information. If God wanted us to have it, he will put it in the Bible. So, levels of sickness, levels of devils, I don't care. I know about the name of Jesus. I get the point. Hallelujah. You know, there's a song that says, your name is powerful. Do you know that song? You are glorious. You are. If you understand what we are singing, his name is powerful than every force in this world. Any force in this world. So, it's not about us. I may not be in level 200 in kingdom of in God's kingdom, but his name is powerful than every force in this world. I may be in level 0, but his name is powerful. I get what I'm talking about. You know the problem? Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. So, where is the devil? Under the foot of Jesus. So, if I am in Jesus, the lowest level in Jesus is matching the devil's head. Are you following me, friends? So, I want you to deliver, clear your mind of all these crazy things people are saying. You want to pray for the sick, something he is fidgeting. Of course, there is training to help yourself get better with it. But then, don't think that that's what qualifies you. Are you following me, friends? So, settle that in your heart. You qualify to heal the sick. Now, when you are standing before a sick person, practically now, what do you do? First of all, let me say this before I continue. I know I've taught you sometime, but I want to remind you again. Do you still remember that I told you that not all sicknesses are natural? There are some sicknesses that are demonic, right? Yeah. Of course, Satan is part of every sickness. But then, some are actually demonic, caused by the devil. So one of the things you want to do when you come to prophetic person is to see if there is any demonic hold on the person. Because, you know, when we are praying for the sick, let me explain this thing I'm saying now. When we are praying for the sick, we are speaking to things. So, I want you to imagine what I'm saying. This microphone now is, it represents sickness. Call it anything. Maybe typhoid in somebody's system. So when you want to pray for the sick, you say, typhoid, I command you, go. So this microphone has ear. Everything has ears. So what it's supposed to do is we listen to you and then relocate and leave. I know what I'm talking about. But then, if there is a demonic force, I don't want to use somebody for this example now. For people say the person is demon. Right? If there's a demonic force controlling that sickness, what it means is that this microphone is inside that person. There is another thing forcing it to stay in there. So even when you command, you typhoid, go.
The microphone wants to move, but it will not move because there's a demon holding it down. I get what I'm saying. So that's why when you discern, the first thing you want to do when you want to pray for the sick is, can I discern anything demonic here? You first rebuke that devil, you foul devil, let go of that body. Hey, typhoid, move. I get what I'm saying. So it's good to start with that discernment. And it's not by doing abracadabra, just come there. That's a demon, you will know. So how do I know? I can tell you a few things, even in the natural. How you can discern that there is a possibility that there are satanic forces manipulating this. For instance, when you see most cases of protracted sicknesses, he has been sick for the past 8 years. We've done everything. Especially when you see that they've done everything medical. This is another example now. They've done everything medically right. But yet somehow this thing continues. That already tells there is more. Because if sickness is in a place, you know, I've talked about drugs actually work, right? If they've taken drugs and all of that, and then the drugs that should be working are not working, there's a demon involved. That demon can actually do many things. I've seen demons work. That demon can even make them diagnose the wrong thing. I know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I've seen cases, yes, that treating typhoid for years. After some time, dying is, and I say, it's been cancer. We didn't know. It's now in stage 4. Something that would have been handled from the onset. The only thing I say when I see those things, I say, an enemy has done this. Yeah. So when there is that, we diagnose that this is demonic. It's always good to handle it first. I'm just teaching you the same thing they do. You know, the same way it happens in the physical. You go to you meet a doctor to pray for. What's the first thing the doctor will do? He will have to treat you rather. The doctor will send you for a test. I get the point. Is that what they do? Okay, whether he or she sends you for a test or not, they try to know what is actually wrong with you. You know, Nigerian doctors are very advanced. So there's only any tests. Say, what's wrong with you? Stomach paining you, right? Find it difficult to stool, right? And when you stool, what's the color? Don't worry. I know what to tell you. But I heard actually in advanced countries, they don't allow that. They must make you pass through a test. Then you come and show the doctor interprets it, sends you to the pharmacist, and all that. That's what I heard. I don't know whether it's true. Amen. But end point is that I must diagnose it first. So when you stand before a sick person, and this doesn't take 1 hour to do. All those times you see me ministering to the sick, when maybe there is healing line, I might not be saying anything, but just watching. That's something you just look at. You just know that that is small. I can tell you this, 80% of sicknesses are demonic. So I always like starting by casting out devils. Most of the time when I see deaf and dumb, most of it is demon. So when you see prostrated issues, sometimes when you see patterns. Sicknesses are not that intelligent to replicate patterns. It has happened to A, it has happened to B, it has happened to C. It keeps happening. Something is causing it. I understand genetics, where they say this is hereditary. That's what I'm talking about. But that's not that there are patterns. You get into a family, this one is not genetic now. First son, at 42, died, waiting kill him, accident. Second son, 42, waiting kill him, accident. Thus, come on, there is a pattern there. So it's accident that's intelligent to calculate age and know when they're approaching that age. Now that's not what we're going to say, you don't worry, you will prosper. Rebuke the devil. So you start with that. You foul devil. Take your hands. And it have taught you how to cast out devils. It's not magic, it's not drama. In 1 second, demons are off. You demon. Get out of this body. Let me show you an example in the Bible. Glory to God. You know what we are doing? Satan hates us. Amen. Satan hates us. And he hates people that know this thing. Well, it's a place to cast out devil. It's all night. I don't waste my time with the devil. Matthew chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 17.
Mark 9 verse 17. We're not afraid. Of course, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I've brought this guy knew the truth. I've brought unto thee my son, which had what? Talk to me, which had what? He didn't just say he was dumb. He knew that this is not just normal dumbness that is medical. This one, there is a spirit behind it. When someone has a dumb spirit, it's not to start saying, oh, mouth open. Mm-mm, there's a dumb spirit. And by the time you see the man describe the situation, you just know that this is a devil. Continue. And wherever he taketh him, he teareth him. He foameth, gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. Put up like an answer, I understand what the guy is trying to say, because you guys, you know. Whenever this spirit sees him, he throws him violently to the ground, then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. You see, when you see those kind of things. So it was not just that this man could not talk. There were a lot of occurrences around him that made this man conclude that this was a dumb spirit. But that's not a problem. Do you know what I'm talking about? Just drive out the devil. Satan does not have any answer when you ask him to go. He must go. Because you are speaking again in the name. Did you see how he reacted every time he sees Jesus coming? From far, the demons will see him and start shouting. That's the man you've come in his name. So from far they see you, the devil begin to vibrate. They may not show it, but in their heart they are hoping you will not speak. Satan is hoping you will not command him to go. He's hoping you will not shout. He's hoping you will not rebuke him. Because if you rebuke him, he has no other answer than to respond. Are you guys following me this evening? Satan is hoping you will shut up. I need to say this to somebody. Oh, in that, you see, in your family, Satan is hoping that you will not wake up one day and talk. He's counting on the fact that you will not speak. And that's why he brings many discouraging thoughts. Do you think this thing you say will work? Do you think that will happen? All he's trying to do is because he knows that once you begin to take authority, he has no answer. He has no answer. I hear the point. Oh, hallelujah. That's why when you notice you're with sick people, you notice that there's some demonic pattern, rebuke that devil out. Get out of that body. It must go. What if the person that you want to cast the devil out from says he doesn't want? The devil has to go first. When I go, bring him back. If I ask you to go, you go. If I leave the place, you can call that devil you're cooperating with back. But he cannot function when I'm around. Because, don't get it, we said there are spirits. Terrible spirits that oppress people. Sometimes they just come because people open their door for them. Sometimes they come because people are wicked and they can go and cast impresses of people on people. I get the point. Someone is sick, very sick, cannot stand up. Medical tests say he's fine, but he's still sick. Someone needs a baby. They run test on the man, 100%. They run test on the woman, 100%. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. There's no reason. Everything is perfect. They live together. They obey all the rules. Ah, that's not where you come and begin to say, you womb, carry baby. Which womb? Womb wants to carry baby. That is a force holding the womb. And you just, when you get there, take authority. Take authority. Take authority. Amen. You know, one of the first cases of healing in the Bible, which actually is the first case of sickness in the Bible, was about childbirth. Yes. They took Abraham's wife and the womb of everybody in that palace was shut. That wasn't natural. Suddenly all of them couldn't conceive again. And with a simple prayer that Abraham made, all the wombs opened up again. So you must take your authority. Amen. The man of God was sharing a story of their son. He said, every time the child will fall sick, they'll give medications. You know, I've told that something wrong with medication. You know, I was talking about that last week. Give medication, he gets fine, then he goes down again. It became a pattern. He said, until one day they brought the child back from school again, he was sick. The mother, he said, the wife lost it at that point. I just kept the child and began to pray in tongues. He said, he picked it too. They prayed and prayed and prayed. Of course, the child slept off, got up, and shared a powerful encounter he had in his dream with them. Well, people say, has been tormented all the while. So he found, he said, told them, look at what I saw, mommy. Woke in my dream, this and that. These people were tormenting me, and as I heard people praying, and I got free, and all of that. From then till now, no sign of that sickness again repeated. Everything is not medication. You're not even a doctor to start with. Every small thing, you won't go. Sometimes you engage the power of God, because what was caused by demons can never be handled by medication. Never. That's why I told you that day, medicine is good. God is not against medicine, but medicine have their limits. Yes. So, if there's a demonic case involved, I have to cast out the devil is very simple. Speak directly to the devil. Speak directly to the devil. Speak directly to the devil. Very simple. Give specific instructions. Get out of that body. Number two, what do? When you give the instruction, of course, lay hands on the sick. Very simple. And speak the word of God directly to that sickness. Now, when I say lay hands, you know, the idea of laying hands for many of us is mostly about placing hand on the head. But no, just contact. It's good to make contact as close as possible. So you can hold the hand. You can also hold where the person is affected, or as close as you can get to where the person is affected. Don't touch the opposite sex in some crazy places, because you want to minister healing. Before you stop ministering healing and start doing other things. Do you know what I'm talking about? That I've seen this happen. I've seen videos like that where you're trying to minister healing to someone and pastor is laying hands on a woman's breast. That's nonsense. Who? Either you are demonic or you are not well taught. Do you understand? The whole idea of making contact is laying hands so that there can be contact. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you don't know what to tell the person, I lay hands on yourself. I can hold your hand. You just to establish contact. That's what we want to do. To establish contact. It mustn't be on the head. It can be anywhere. Amen. Let me even help you. Part of the ministerial order. If for any reason you want to pray for your friend, your friend says, pray for me, I'm sick, and you need to lay hands, don't always rush for the head. Don't be in a hurry to rush for people's head. I don't know why people like laying hands on people's head. Sometimes you can just hold the person's hand. You get the point? Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes you can hold the person's shoulder. I'm not saying it's bad though. I'm just saying most times laying hands on people's head is sometimes it carries some kind of special authority. Do you understand? Personally, I've prayed for my friends, but I've never laid hands on any of my friends' head. No, I don't understand. I don't know how to do it. You understand? I don't know how to do it. I think it demands some kind of, I put hands on your head because I have that authority spiritually over you. That's why I do that. Now, this is me. It's not in the Bible. I'm just telling you what me I practice. I'm not saying another person that does it is wrong. I'm just saying me, this is what I practice. Even you, Seth. You guys who will go touch your head, they go pain you small. Yes. And brothers here, I don't know. Well, maybe it's just me. But I know many guys don't like people touching their head. Isn't it like that? Okay, wow, that's only me. Why are you touching my head? What are you doing? What are you looking for? Is something missing? But sisters, the reverse is the case. Abby? Is that true? You people like people touching your somebody touching your head.
Okay, his hair, not head. It was not the difference. Don't touch my hair. Don't touch my head. Just leave me alone. But I'm just saying, laying of hands is not actually just you. Of course, if they touch your head and you are sick, don't get angry. But that is to get healed. After getting healed, do not get angry. Don't go and be forming knowledge. Get healed first. If his head, the person wants to touch, let them touch your head. Don't go and reject him because you are forming knowledge. So this is some literal ethics. You don't touch my head. Let them touch your head, though. You get well. But then you lay hands, you establish contact, and you speak directly to the sickness. That's what I'm trying to, what I want to show you. Don't lay hands on people and begin to say, "Father, no, just come and heal." Mm-mm. I've seen people pray that kind of prayer and healing eventually occurs. Actually. Because God actually is very merciful and compassionate. We don't always have to get it right. But I'm telling you, the right order in God's word is that you speak directly to the sickness. So you are rebuking the devil directly. Hey, if there is, of course, you pray for it, rebuke the devil. If the eye is bad, I command your eye, open. I get to the point. The kidney is this. I command you, kidney, in the name of Jesus, be fixed. Let a new organ be created. Give specific instructions. Because remember, you are speaking from the place of authority. And when authority is involved, we do only what you say we should do. Are you getting what I'm talking about here? You know, that man said to Jesus, that centurion said to Jesus, "I'm a man under authority. I say to one, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes." Remember that story? He was trying to tell Jesus, "You don't need to come to my house. Because me, I'm a man under authority and I have people under me. I understand how authority functions. When I tell my servant go, he goes." So he was saying to Jesus, "I know sickness is under you. So when you say go, you don't need to be present." He will respond. And Jesus said, "I've never seen this kind of faith." Because that's faith. That's how authority functions. So you don't say, "In the name of Jesus, Father, come and do your work again. After all those your shenanigans, pray. And command that devil, you foul devil, or you blind eye, or you crippled." You see how Peter and John prayed for that man? In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. They gave instructions. Bible said immediately his bones and ankles receive strength. So you speak to the sickness. You speak to the sickness. I like being specific in prayers. You speak to the sickness directly. I command you, boil, to disappear. I command you, rashes, to dry up. That's how I pray. I command these rashes to dry up. I command your eyes to open. I command whatever that is that needs to be fixed to your eyes is fixed this moment. I demand a total repair. You are speaking directly because it's authority. It's authority. Amen. It's authority. Glory to God. If you're in your house, your mother. And I've said this many times. Children, all of us are children at one part or the other. You're either still a child or you were a child before, or you know. If your mom wants to send message, somebody should bring me spoon there. Most times, that spoon is not coming. Say that is a very good last born. He's looking for mommy's favor. Normally, someone should get me spoon there. Akoko. You go now. Are you for not hearing me? So I should bring spoon there. Is that what you hear? Chinenye. And Chinenye will now go and bring the spoon. That's how authority works. You speak. Don't just speak randomly. You foul devil. You demon of deafness. You tongue be loosened. Directly like that. You give instructions. And you can give instructions more than once. I've talked many times. You can pray two times. You command, I also say it again. Jesus prayed for a man that was blind and asked him, "Do you see anything?" He said, "I see men like trees." Jesus prayed again. So there's nothing wrong with praying again. But the thing you must correct in your head is this. Don't ever feel that the first time you pray that nothing happened. Now that's the mistake. Every time you pray, something happens. Sometimes, if the praying again
is to help that person. Let me tell you what I've observed. There are many people I know that the reason I've learned this actually, the way my ministry functions, I'm rarely ever dramatic. Ministering the power of God, rarely. So, and I've observed people don't like receiving from people like us. I'm very simple. Yes. If you invite me to your family to come and do family prayer, the actual thing I actually want to do is to come into your family and say, in the name of Jesus, everything is fixed. Devil, get out of this family in Jesus' name, and I go home. But I've learned that if I do it, your people not going to believe. Say like, Omecheko, is it done? Say, yes, it's done. Say, ha. Let's call it a really anointed man of God, though. So because of that, sometimes we'll come, we'll sing, we pray, I ask you to pray, we pray. I'm trying to help you and all your family members. Because the actual thing I want to do is to come here and say, I noticed you found over here. Except maybe, I'm coming to that, except maybe there are now extra instructions. Without extra instructions, this is actually how I love dealing with devils. You devil, your job is here, your job is to get out. You out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You guys are now free. Go and prosper. But I say, are they done? So, you know, those days I used to go for all the family prayer stuff. They always, you know, there was one we went for. The whole extended family came back. They came back from Lagos, from Abuja, like everywhere. Because they were seeing Shege. So they called us to come. So this is actually what I wanted to do, but I know that if I attempt it, they might murder, they might crucify me there. Because they came back with so much expectations. So, and they were already. We are saying the men of God have come. So when I saw all of them, I said, we are in trouble today. Because actually, we needed to help their faith. So we made, say, let's sing. They sang and did all of that. And I began to teach. That was not what they wanted. But I thought anyway. After teaching on the believer's authority, so that they can understand the authority they have over the devil. We prayed. We stayed a few minutes. Prayed. Switched the word of knowledge. By the time we were done with all, they were happy. They were satisfied. And of course, the issues were fixed. Amen. Issues were fixed. I want to pray for the other man. In fact, I was in Benue State, Aliede to be precise, with my friends. We were doing a meeting. And before that, a few months before that, I had gone to minister to another part of Benue State. That's Naka. Who knows Benue State? You know Naka? Who knows? Is it Naka? Did I pronounce it well? Naka. So I was in Naka doing a meeting many years, many months before then. So, and Aliede to Naka is really not that close. It's quite a distance. But somehow, this is a very interesting story. Because this family, they were passing through a lot there in Naka. They had just lost about 3 people or so within a very short time. And then, the man was a bus driver, and his bus had the engine that kept knocking. They kept changing engine. And the last one had knocked. They were tired. We previously had gone to a supposed woman of God. The woman of God said, no, give that this demon is after your life, that, and ask them to bring money. Amen. And the woman was demanding about 150,000, and they had only, I think, 90,000. The woman said no, that they have to buy many spiritual items, so they can't come for that amount. So they were thinking of how to raise the money. Then a night before that day, this woman was in her sleep, in her dream. These are incidents in my life that stood out for me as I was growing up in my walk with God. And had a vision. An angel met her and said, go call my servant, Bro Henry. Now, they didn't have an idea that was anywhere close to Benue State. And the next morning, I got their call. I said, they introduced me. I said, are you guys calling me today? Say, please, the Lord said we should call you to come to our place. I said, how do you guys come in Benue State? Say, thank God, though. It was quite a distance, but we went. You know, when we got there, I'm just trying to tell you how this faith thing works. Because the Lord told them to call us,
We didn't have to do any drama. The foot is already on the right. Are you what I'm talking about? We just got there. And I said, oh, death in this family, I rebuke you. We just prayed, gave some instructions. Went to the car. And the engine had knocked. Put our hands on it and prayed. We just finished and left. We were still on our way going. They called us. The car just started. Yes. I mean, engine knocked. I'm not joking. Engine knocked. Car just started. That wasn't hard. But you know, if we had to, you understand, if the Lord did not tell them to call us like that. So sometimes I'm saying, don't ever think that because you have to pray 2, 3, 4 times, that nothing happened the first time you prayed. No. Sometimes that praying again and again is just to help the person. But to always know that every time you put hands on the sick and pray, something happens. And another thing you must realize that sometimes something can happen, but it's not manifest immediately. Jesus spoke to the fig tree to dry up. It was the next day that Peter saw that it had dried up. But Jesus did not begin to say, oh, I spoke, this one did not work. No. When you pray, lay hands, give instructions, things will happen. Are you following me? And let me tell you something that I practice when I pray for the sick. I engage my imagination a lot. If I'm putting on a sick person, I'm imagining power moving from my hand. Core, I imagine it literally. That as I'm touching the person, something is moving from my hand. Because I engage, I know I'm not wasting my time. My hand contours the power of God. So as I'm putting, I'm imagining where the power of God is surging through my hand and getting into the person's body. Yeah. I imagine the person standing up. I imagine the person, the demon flying. I imagine kidney. Sometimes it's an internal issue. I'm seeing as I'm praying the kidney being reconstructed. So I don't lay hands on people passively. I engage my being. You get the point? As I'm laying hands, I'm seeing it. And you can do this. Amen? Let me say two more things, then we close. Next thing you must do as you want to pray for the sick. Please watch out for any instructions. There are cases where God can give you instructions outside the regular. And you can see this in the ministry of Jesus. There are people he wanted to pray for. He will spit on the ground, mix sand, and use it on the person's eye. Have you seen such cases? There are some other people, he will say, go show yourself to the priest. There are some others, he will just pray for and they'll be fine. There are instructions. Elisha said to Naaman, go dip yourself in Jordan. Now, there could be instructions. Now, if there are no instructions, just do the Bible thing to do. Cast out the devil. But there could be specific instructions. Not always, but there could be. Amen. So that I've prayed for you guys, when I'm done praying, the Lord will say, tell the person to rejoice. So that I finished praying, the Lord said, look, see what you do. Do this, tell him to stand up, tell him to do this. Sometimes, you know, I've also seen God telling me, tell him to forgive. Those instructions is not because God is saying, that's what you have to do for me to heal you. No. But, of course, I've not explained all this, but all of those, when they write the instructions, tell the person to obey it. Sometimes you follow these instructions yourself. Amen. We've come to cast out the devil one day, and the normal thing for me to do is the devil get out. And the Lord said, you guys should praise me. Real life story. Praise me. So we began to praise. We began to sing. We began to praise. I'm saying dancing, 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 dancing. We praised to a point. We knew when the power of God had hit the lady. Just went out there, you father will get out. I mention this because sometimes there are instructions. You notice this Bible said Peter, when he got to the house of Tabitha, he didn't just go to lay hands immediately. He sat down and prayed for some time. There are instructions like that. I get what I'm talking about. So, yes, the general thing is everything I show you, but listen for instructions. If there are none, fine. If there is any, God will tell you, don't worry. Get the point? Because there's any, God just prompt it to your heart. Amen. I've seen God tell me, tell that sister to dance. Amen. I was also thinking this way, the Lord will tell me, oh, you want to pray for this sister? Don't lay hands on her, on him. Call this person to come and pray. That's not instructions. I've seen it happen. Call this person to come and lay hands on them.
I've seen those things happen. But you listen for instructions. When you pray for a woman who had stuffs all over her body, you know, these rashes, head to toe. And I wanted to pray. The Lord said, bless her water. And I said, do you want to come bath? She said, yes. That it was boiling water and all of that. It was in a village setting. And I put my hand on the water. And I what I actually did was, I got a cup of water, blessed that cup of water, and poured that cup of water into the water she was going to use to bath. And I said, go bath. They came for the meeting at night, totally restored. Dramatic. Totally restored. Now, that instruction was specific. Now, if I didn't get that instruction, I could just pray. Are you following me, everybody? I could just pray. So, listening for instructions, if there are any. If there are none, just pray. The power of God is enough. I guess the word of God, the prayer, the name of Jesus is enough. But I have instructions. And of course, finally, I'm going to say to you, steer the gift of healing within you always. I'm going to close with that. Steer the gift of healing within you always. Because now, listen, you have the Holy Ghost. Because that's why sometimes people say there are levels you have to get. There are no levels. But let me explain something to you. You have the Holy Ghost. You have the healing gift working inside of you. But, you know, this thing can be in you and that dormant. Prayer doesn't take you to levels and levels. What prayer just does, because prayer is one of the ways to steer up the gift of God in you, is that it steers it up. Use the word activate. I get the point. Use the word like you steer it up, get it working. Because you know, one of the things is this: when you don't pray for a long time, even at a time, you are not even aware that you have all those Holy Spirit. You're not even aware. You know them in your head, but you don't feel like it. That's what happens to you sometimes. So prayer steers up the gift of God in you. Putting up yourself in your most holy place, praying the Holy Ghost, steers up the gift of God in you. So you notice what Peter did again. Go to the house of Tabitha. Paul said he knelt down and prayed. You don't observe that. Go back to Acts chapter 9. Is it 9? He knelt down there and prayed. Acts 9:36. Glory to God. Of course, verse 37. 38. Now watch. When Peter, 39. When he was come, they brought him into the inner chamber, and the widows were showing him all the coats and garments Dorcas did for them and all that. Verse 40 now. Peter put them all forth, kneeled down, and prayed. This is a narrative. Do you understand? When he say he prayed, the narrative, we don't tell us everything that happened, but we prayed. We don't know how long. Maybe 1 minute, maybe 3 minutes, maybe 30 seconds, maybe 1 hour, but he prayed. I get the point. Now that prayer, as he was praying, he prayed to a point, he just got up and said, hey, Tabitha, arise. That was it. That prayer steered up so much. I shared a story with you guys about this man of God. Went to pray for somebody. They brought him in. The man was bedridden, almost down. The guy that was sharing the story, that said that was his biggest experience. He came in with the man, and he just came in and sat down on the seat. He didn't say anything to them. 30 minutes, he was just sitting down there. Man of God, welcome, welcome. 1 hour, he was just there. After 2-3 hours, he said himself that came with him was already feeling, this man is very wicked. All we gathered to see, after some time, he just got up, went straight to the person. Be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. He said, I'm done. Next day, the guy got up, fully recovered. Yes. What that is to steer up stops. Maybe not always when you get in front of a sick person, but when you maintain a life of prayer sometimes, all the time, you steer up. You know, you are charging yourself up in the spirit because the Holy Ghost lives inside of you. And notice, when you're praying the Holy Ghost, you are building yourself up in that spirit. So you pray, you steer up the gift of God in you. One of them, for instance, is by praying in tongues. In another way, you actually steer up the gift of God in you is by being sensitive to Him. One of the ways you become more steered up and charged up to heal the sick, see any place you are and you just get an instruction from God, obey it immediately. Go pray for that person, stand up and go and pray immediately.
Goliath and the person, God, obey it immediately. That gives much expression to that life you carry inside of you. Because when you obey, you know what you are doing. In the whole spiritual Holy Ghost meeting parlance, we say you are yielding to the Spirit. So the more you yield to the Spirit, what you are doing is what the Bible said we must do. You're actually going doing what the Bible said we should do and not doing what it said we should not do. The Bible said we should never quench the Spirit. So when somebody is sick here and something tells you, go pray for that person. If you do not go, you've quenched the Spirit. You know, the Spirit wants to move. So when you yield, you've given expression. The other way you set up the gift of God in you, for instance, is being impartation. Where hands are laid on you. That's why, with everything I've explained to you, now understand why impartation is important. Impartation actually is not giving you healing, giving you the gift of healing. You already have the Holy Ghost. So, last scripture is Acts chapter 6, verse 3. They wanted to pick men that will serve tables. I've preached from here many times. They wanted to pick men that will serve tables. Look at the qualification they gave. There must be 7 men of honest. You know what honest report is? These are people that everybody speaks well of. In other words, they must be very mature Christian. They must be full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So they were not about to pick very childish people. They picked very serious men, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom. And for them to pick these 7 men, they were talking to a crowd of thousands of people. And they told them, look among you men that are full of the Holy Ghost. So it means obviously these guys you are singled out, they were known to be full of the spirits and demonstrations and all of that. So they picked them, Stephen, Philip, and the rest of them. And then in verse 6, the Bible said they set them before the apostles, and the apostles laid hands on them and prayed. Remember, these guys were full of the Holy Ghost. So why did they lay hands on them? Because they were commissioned into the ministry. By verse 7, Bible tells us the great company of the priests, the word of God increased, and many priests even became obedient to the faith. Now in verse 8, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders. How come it was after that impartation that you began to see that manifestation of healing? I get the point. Now, this guy was already full of the Holy Ghost, but then, by that impartation, things began to gain expression through him. And that's why I want to say to you before I close, every time there's an opportunity for an impartation, please receive it. Please receive it. One of the things I try to do every time I go to see my pastor is to see that he lays hands on me as many times as possible. If hands are laid on me 40 times, something was deposited in the whole 40 of them. Yes. Every time that you receive it, open yourself to it. Let there be no impartation that is happening where you are that you miss out of. Because you are an usher, or because you are in the media, or because you are in the technical, let there be no impartation that you miss out of. You must stay because something is happening. Who would have known that by that impartation in verse 6, that verse 8, Stephen was going to begin to flow in that kind of mighty grace? By the time you get to chapter 8, you see Philip too. He had gone to Samaria. Miracles too. Hence we are laid. Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 34 that Joshua was seen and was full of wisdom because Moses, the man of God, had laid his hands on him. Yes. So wisdom can begin to gain expression in people because hands were laid on them. The same way healing can begin to gain much more expression in people because hands were laid on them. Much more expression. So speaking in tongues, praying, laying of hands is not actually to give you special gifts. It's actually to stir up and give my expression. I get the point to what is already inside of you. Look at that. Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. So it was so clear that the reason why the spirit of wisdom was upon him and visible to everybody was because hands were laid on him. So it can be said about you that so person of platform of grace was full of the spirit of healing, casting out devils and all of that, because Pastor Henry had laid his hands on him. That's how it works. So that gives it expression. Elisha followed Elijah. But when impartation came upon him, the same Red Sea that Elijah was dividing, he divided it. So there is so much that God has put in you. Always tear it up. How? Always pray in tongues. Always respond and yield to the Spirit. Always receive impartation. So even that opportunity occurs, heal the sick. I get the point. So you're praying in tongues all the time. You're being imparted. And you're yielding to the Spirit. You're praying in tongues. You're being imparted. You're yielding to the Spirit. Answers will come. You begin to see deaf ears unstopped. You begin to see blind eyes open. I can tell you, I've received impartations and certain things began to happen more and more in my ministry. Yes. Whenever I feel that there is something that is maybe a new expression that is about to start happening in our ministry, I know what to do. Two things. Give yourself to too much prayer and be parted for it. Amen. And from now, one of the things you begin to notice in this ministry, cases with liver, kidney, internal organs will now begin to be healed supernaturally much more. Much more. You see it. Something I know. Much more. You will hear of kidney that was due for transplant, new kidney form created. You will see liver, new liver created. You will see it happen much more. Much more. We've already seen some of them, but it's going to happen much more. Heard testimony last year, the lady that was supposed to go for surgery. What they call that thing? See, something torsion. Ovarian torsion also. It was supposed to go, is it remove the ovary? Is it? Or repair it? To remove it. I meant to remove that ovary. But then, prayers, hand of God came. Restore to normal. And much more of those will begin to happen. You know why? I've prayed it out in the Spirit. I know it. So when you give yourself much more to prayer, you're steering these things. Amen. And you know the thing? Immediately God began to talk to me about those things beginning to happen. Actually, people around me began to report. Doctor said my kidney is this. I'm beginning to hear those things now. And when I just laughed. Because I had broken through that thing in the Spirit. Yes. When I began to hear it, I just laughed. I said, okay. It means you are in for many miracles. Don't be afraid of sicknesses. Every sickness is an opportunity for the power of, for testimony. Oh, I get your point. When they say that, just rejoice because you are going to stand on this stage one day and testify that God has healed you. I get your point. Whatever they say is wrong with your body, the hand of God is working. The hand of God is moving. Sicknesses have an answer. I'm going to challenge you before I go. Today is Thursday. Between tomorrow and Man Up is starting on Thursday. By this time next week, Thursday will be at Man Up. A perfect lady. Amen. Between tomorrow and that time, please lay hands on a sick person. I feel that by my words, so much has been stirred up. I sense it very strongly. Even without laying hands on you, I feel that there is so much impartation happening in this minute as I'm talking now. This night, tomorrow, don't let it go. He said, can it go? It can. Go doesn't mean it will leave your body. But then, when you receive all these things and then you don't use it, before you know, you even begin to lose consciousness of what you have received. You see, tomorrow, get to a hospital. Lay hands on the sick. You see, tomorrow, look for someone, put us on the person. You will see the kind of miracles tomorrow, Saturday. Please lay hands. In fact, thank you, Holy Ghost. I just got this in the Holy Ghost. Saturday outreach. Yes. Yes. It will be a healing wave. Don't do much about preaching. I want you to lay hands on the sick. As I come up, let's write it. Every team leader, every cell leader, Saturday outreach is a healing wave. Across everybody joining the service, Lagos, Suka, everywhere, Saturday is a healing wave. So as we step out, look for the sick. Go to hospital if you must. Go to families. You can preach a little and ask them, is anybody sick in this family? Please do that. We're going to see records of healings. I feel there is a heavy impartation, actually. I don't need to touch you. But something has been stirred up here. We're going to see the dominion of Jesus over devils, over sicknesses, over principalities, over powers. Ooh, hallelujah. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Sing that song. Your name is powerful than any force in this world. Woo! Don't worry, stay. I don't want us to waste so much time. Just pray for 2 minutes.
Faithfully know your
3 minutes, actually. Sing it again now.
Your name is powerful.
Yes.
Than any force in this world.
I want to hear you lift your voice. Pray in the Holy Ghost.
You are glorious. And faithful in all your ways.
Sing it again. Your name is powerful.
Your name is powerful than any force in this world. You are glorious and faithful in all your ways.
Now hear what the Lord said to me. Hold your neighbor's hand all over this place. Ask that person. Find out, is there any sickness in your body you want me to pray for you about now? Is there anything you want me to pray for you for? Ask the person. I just got that. If there is none, both of you can just pray in the Holy Ghost. But if there is any, you know, as you are holding the person's hand, you already laying hands. That's the point. You've made contact. If you guys are to be good to the person, the person says, yeah, both of you can join hands and pray for the person. Woo! Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes.
Your name is powerful.
Now, command that sickness to leave the body. If there is nobody, we can just speak in tongues.
Oh, Jesus.
is the time, I didn't mention this in the teaching, but let me say it now. This is the time to now ask that person, test the healing. Every time you pray for the sick, make sure you test the healing. Tell the person, do whatever you couldn't do before. If you do not do that, you did not give an opportunity for the person to receive healing. So this is the time to receive now. If a person couldn't move his leg, tell him to move his leg. If you couldn't read, tell him to read with the eyes. If there was a pain, tell him to check for the pain. All over this place. Do it now. Whatever is wrong with your eyes, whatever is wrong with your body, this is the receiving time. When you pray, it's giving. The person now receives. This is receiving time. Check your body. Check your body. Some of you need to go on my coffin, but check if there is any pain that you are feeling. Find out if that pain is still there. If your eye was bad, find out if your eye is still bad. Because it's no more. If there was a pain, check the pain has just disappeared. And it's by the prayer of the saints. Have you checked yourself? Have you checked yourself? Ushers, by this time, I expect that there should be testimony sleeves around. I told you that every service you must have your testimony sleeves around and ready. Have you checked yourself? Woo! Check for the pain. Do it. Healing is happening. You're receiving. Receiving is happening. Check for growth in your body. Check for pains. Check for those things that they just commanded to leave your body now. They've gone, actually. Check to see that they've gone. It can be that simple, without drama. If you've checked yourself and you just notice that you're healing, you just notice the change in your body. Let me see your hand. Wow, look at all the hands. Keep it up. Notice the change in your body. They prayed for you. Read it very, very well. This is beautiful. Do you want to shout a big amen? This shout glory. Get those testimonies. I want us to take the testimonies. We're not going to take them here. If you raise your hand before the church, take it so they can give you those slips. Now, whenever you get here, share your testimony. It's always healthy to do that. It's always good to do that. Look at all the hands. And I make sure I did not give any decree from this place. So you'll be so sure that it was your prayers that worked it out. Your name is powerful.
Oh, Jesus.
Your name,
powerful. Oh, Jesus.
Sing it again.
Jesus.
If that yes to bring a sleep to you, get a piece of paper and write something now. Get a piece of paper. Just write the next one. If that yes to bring a sleep to you, do that yes. If you raise your hand, raise it so the ushers can see you. Raise it again so they can see you.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Your name is power.
There are some this side, there are some this side. Check that side. Hallelujah.
Oh,
so we can take this one and sing it again.
Jesus.
The presence of God is so mighty in this place. And this healing is happening all over. I'm seeing Lagos. I'm seeing different places.
Oh,
same power of God all over the place.
Your name is powerful. Oh, Jesus.
Your name. Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus.
Let me help you. Look at how to write your testimony. Let us know what happened to you, what was happening to you before now. Let us know how long it's been there. If you have that detail, let us know what exactly happened to you when they prayed for you. If you felt anything in your body, let us know. Describe the testimony as much as you can.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.